Summer down the shore has its own natural soundtrack, but a warming climate is threatening the survival of some of our region's wildlife. From WHYY's Climate Desk, Susan Phillips reports on how researchers have been tracking the songs of the seaside sparrow, which summers in the high salt marshes of the Jersey coast.
Welcome to Cook's Beach. This is probably the closest that you can get to a seaside sparrow in South Jersey.
Cook's Beach lies about 15 miles north of Cape May Point, along the coast of the Delaware Bay. On this early summer morning, Rowan University professor Jerry Huff and his student Nick Buono are standing at the edge of a marsh that lies between a dense forest and the bay.
We're looking at these seaside sparrows as an indicator of how healthy the wetland is.
Although the busy beach town of Stone Harbor is only about 10 miles east of here, the only shore sounds you'll hear at this rare and undeveloped stretch of coastline are the ubiquitous laughing gulls, feasting on the eggs of horseshoe crabs, who are likely the last of the season's stragglers mating along the beach at high tide. Dozens of cormorants lounge on top of a collapsed pier. Willets duck and dive among the reeds and high grasses, along with red-winged blackbirds, barn swallows, and Forster's terns. But standing at the edge of the marsh, Huff and Buono are aiming microphones at tiny little sparrows perched on the swaying tops of spartina, or cordgrass.
So the birds that we're looking for, there's one right there. And there's one over there. You can hear them. They sound like, it sounds like they're going, Phoebe, Phoebe.
The seaside sparrow blends in remarkably, but it does have bright yellow markings between its eyes and beak, and a white patch on its neck, visible when it lifts its head to sing. It's the only sparrow living in the high salt marsh between the beach and the forest.
The Delaware Bay is somewhat protected compared to the Atlantic seaboard coastline in that there's a lot more native marshes here.
Dotted within the marsh's quicksand-like mud are islands of cordgrass, and that is the perfect place to raise seaside sparrow chicks free from predators. The height protects the nests from storm surge. Huff has collected data on the bird for the past 13 years, but you need a pretty good ear or a large microphone to catch their song.
These guys are all over the place, and you can probably hear them in the background. Their most characteristic feature is they have this buzz at the end of their song that sounds like bee, bee.
Huff is interested in the sparrow's dialect, or what he refers to as their accent.
Just like we have different accents on different words, so do they. Just like we say wooder in Philly, they sound the same here.
And why is that? Why do they have dialects?
Well, they learn song very much like ours, which is why a lot of people study them to learn about language evolution. When they are little, they do babbling very much like humans. We call it subsong.
And like humans, Huff says by the time they are adolescents, that accent is pretty solid. The dialect of the seaside sparrow is what motivated Huff to first start recording their songs. He says the sparrows he's recorded in Connecticut and Delaware, or even a little bit down the road, have different dialects.
He's got a very long trill before he goes to that end buzz, and that's something that's characteristic. We've recorded here for quite a while. Some of them have this very, very slow, kind of sweet beep, 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 beep before they get to the buzz, but these guys have a very rapid kind of brrrr.
The message, says Huff, is pretty simple. This is mine.
So my territory, my area, my resources, my nest, my mate, mine.
But in doing this research, Huff noticed changes that worry him.
They require a very specific set of habitat characteristics. They need to have a mix of these low grasses and not the very tall reeds that you see in some other areas. And so if anything happens to this vegetation here at Cook's Beach, you're going to lose the birds.
He says the birds faithfully return to the land of their birth. So if they start to hear other dialects in this marsh, that could raise a red flag.
And so the song can be an indicator. So if you hear people that have an accent where you don't expect it, there must be some reason why they left where they used to be. And so same thing for the birds. And so by looking at the song, we're hoping to get some clue as to whether this area is stable or whether this area is threatened.
Huff says in 40 or 50 years, the marsh could be underwater due to climate change. So the question is, can these birds move somewhere else? He says, compared to recordings done over a decade ago, only about 30% of the same songs are still sung here. But he's not sure why.
If they disappear, then that means that all the plants here that rely on them for seed dispersal and keeping the insects in the same line, they go away.
Right now, Cook's Beach is a healthy marsh, and he hopes it stays that way. But if the marsh disappears, he worries the unique songs of the Cook's Beach seaside sparrow could as well. From the Climate Desk, I'm Susan Phillips, WHYY News.